Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters. Thanks for joining us today. December the 1st is National AIDS Awareness Day, an important moment to highlight prevention, education, and support individuals living with HIV. We're honored to have Connie Garrett with us today from Choice Health Network, an organization that provides essential services, support, and education across our region. Connie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, Connie, first off, let's start by letting listeners get to know you. Can you introduce yourself and share a little bit about your background and what your role is with the Choice Health Network?
My name is Connie Garrett. I am from Solana, Tennessee. I have been in the field of HIV for going on 8 years. I am the Upper Cumberland Client Service Manager for our office here in Upper Cumberland. We serve 11 counties. And we help people. Our office is non-medical.
Okay.
In Knoxville, we do have a medical clinic.
Okay.
We also have a medical clinic in Chattanooga, and Memphis is also non-medical. And we do just several different things. We can help people with housing, rent, utilities, food, transportation, making it able for them to get to their medical provider.
Okay.
Also, studies have shown that if a client is housed, they're more out to stay on their medication and stay viral suppressed.
Yeah. So how do clients get to you at Choice Health Network?
Most of our referrals come from the regional health office here in Cookeville.
Okay. And do they
have word of mouth, of course.
Okay,
from other clients.
So regional health office or word of mouth. And do they have to have a referral, or can anybody come? Do you have to have certain insurances or no insurance?
Anybody can come.
Okay.
They just have to be HIV positive for us to help them.
Okay. Okay. So for those people who may not be familiar, can you explain what HIV and AIDS are and how they're related, but they're not the same thing?
HIV is the virus.
Mm-hmm.
AIDS is the virus at its highest level.
Okay.
You know, its worst.
Right.
It's not being treated with medication, and it can be very deadly.
So HIV is the virus that can lead to AIDS.
Yes.
So we've seen huge medical advances over the years in HIV and AIDS. But why is National AIDS Awareness Day so important?
Because it's a global event across the world.
Okay.
Of awareness for HIV and AIDS. It's also a day of remembrance for the people that have passed on, because when this first hit the scene back in the late 70s, early 80s, it wasn't, nobody knew what it was.
Right.
And so it was a death sentence.
Right.
So it's not a death sentence anymore.
Correct. Correct. So it's a global event, meaning worldwide event to bring awareness to HIV and AIDS.
And people who are living with HIV and AIDS.
Okay. So when you look back over the past few decades, I know you already said, 70s and 80s is really when we first seen a real spike of HIV and AIDS. But it's changed a lot.
Oh, yes.
I would say in the last two decades, for sure, we've seen huge strides. So what progress has been made in the prevention and treatment?
Prevention and treatment, well, I mean, they have advanced with PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylactics. I can say that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that helps. Like if someone is living a lifestyle, they may have a partner that has HIV, or they may be a injection drug user or something like that, they can take that one-day pill, and they've actually got a shot now, but I don't know much about that, so I'd rather not speak on that. But I do know the ones that take the pill every day, it's like 99% effective to prevent HIV.
So prevention, the big thing that we've seen is PrEP.
And just more awareness. There's still so much stigma around HIV.
There is. What about treatments? Have we seen a lot of changes in treatments?
Yes. I've got clients that were on board back in the early 80s, and they had to take like 18 to 20 pills a day.
Yeah.
Now most of them take either one or three pills a day.
Okay.
There's also an injection I don't know much about it, but I do know it is available. And I think it lasts for like 3 months.
Yeah. So it sounds like we've came a long way with preventing HIV altogether. And then also with our treatments. Once someone does contract HIV, treatments have changed significantly since they first began. And I've seen that too in the healthcare field as well. You know, and earlier diagnosis, I think, is another thing that people are diagnosed earlier now than used to. A lot of times people were more advanced before they were diagnosed in the early days. So I think that's come a long way as well. So that's very helpful. Even with progress, though, that we've seen over the last few decades, misconceptions still persist. And we know that. And you, like you said, there's still a stigma there.
Yes.
What are some of the most common myths or misunderstandings that you think people have about HIV and
they
AIDS?
They think just for hugging someone that you can contract it, or even kissing someone that you can contract it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not that simple.
So that's a big misconception.
It is.
What else? Any other misunderstandings that you hear people?
They think it's all the LGBTQ plus community, and that's not correct either.
Mm-hmm. What types of individuals have HIV? Well, you mentioned people think it's just LGBTQ.
We have heterosexual clients.
All ages.
Got it from a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are cases of children getting it from their parent, you know, the mother having a child and, you know, transmitting it. But it affects anybody who is having unprotected sex.
Yeah. So any age adult, like you said, and we have come a long way. So very rare to see, you know, a mother pass to a baby now with proper prenatal care.
Right.
As long as there's proper prenatal care
and
testing.
And they're virally suppressed.
Right.
That's the main thing.
Right. So, you know, it definitely has come a long way with that as well. Mm-hmm. So that's important to mention. So let's talk a bit more about prevention.
All right.
So how is HIV transmitted? I know you mentioned that that was a common misconception, that they can contract it with hugging or kissing.
It has to be through blood. It can be through bodily fluids.
Okay.
For a mother who is not virally suppressed, it can be through her breast milk and injection drugs. Like if they're sharing needles with someone that's HIV positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So blood, body fluids, possibly breast milk if the mom's not suppressed, if she's HIV positive, and through IV drug use with someone who could be positive as well. So there's been a lot more conversations about, you mentioned PrEP already and PEP recently.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain really what those are and who might benefit from PrEP?
From PrEP, anyone that is living a lifestyle, having unprotected sex, or an injected drug user that's not sure if whoever they're injecting drugs with is positive or not, just any kind of sexual contact with not using protection.
Okay.
That is a pill that you can take once a day, and it is 99% preventative from causing HIV.
Okay. So how do patients get that medication?
They can get it from the regional health office.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's other clinics as well, but that's local that I know about.
Okay. So regional health office, you know, here locally in the Upper Cumberland.
Yes.
That our residents could go to. And it's a once-a-day pill, 99% effective against preventing HIV spread.
Yes.
Okay.
PEP is a pill after you have had unprotected sex with someone that you may suspect that has HIV, or you have used drugs with someone, you know, injection drugs that may have HIV.
Okay.
And the most effective is within the first 72 hours, 24 hours, but at least within 72 hours to prevent.
Okay.
But it's 80-something percent. I'm not sure about that because I'm not medical, but, you know, from what I've learned.
Okay. So PEP is more for post-exposure,
yes,
right? Prevention.
Yes.
So they have been exposed to an HIV-positive individual, whether that be through sexual activity, through IV drug use, body fluids, something,
yes,
they've been exposed. Mm-hmm. And so within the first 24 hours, ideally,
yes,
they would get this medication.
And
or
it's a 28-day.
Okay, that was my next question. So it's a 28-day, and is it the same as PrEP? Are they able to get that from the regional health office here in the Upper Kremlin? Do you know?
I would think. Don't quote me on that.
Okay. Yeah. So those are two different options, mm-hmm, that are new in the last 2 decades that,
yes,
I would say that are available to people. So that's obviously going to significantly improve prevention, mm-hmm, and, you know, post-exposure,
right,
as well.
If people, you know about it and know where to get it and, you know.
Right. And then you do hear about it more, but I would say there's still a significant number of the population who doesn't know about it. You do see commercials on TV now,
yes,
that you did not before. So, you know, hopefully some of it's getting around word,
yes,
of mouth. But it is important for the public to know.
Absolutely.
That this is out there. So what about HIV testing? What does that look like today?
We actually have take-home QR code that they can scan,
okay,
and have the test sent to their privacy of their home.
Okay.
And they would send the results back in,
okay,
you know, and they would evaluate it, and then they would go from there. If it is positive, of course, they would want to get you in as soon as possible and get you on a regimen to start treating your HIV.
Okay, so that's a great option.
Yeah.
So whenever,
'cause everybody don't feel comfortable going to the health departments, and, you know.
Correct. Because of the stigma,
yes,
that you mentioned before, they don't want people to know. So that's a great option. So when we come back in this next segment, I want to pick up and talk just a little bit more about that testing option. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. And today I'm here with Connie Garrett from Choice Health Network. And today we're talking about National AIDS Awareness Day, which is December 1st. So here in December, we wanted to talk about this important topic to highlight prevention and education for individuals living with HIV and knowing how to prevent HIV here in the Upper Cumberland. So, Connie, the last thing that we were talking about, you know, we've been talking about lots of the changes that we've seen in the past couple of decades. And one thing that you mentioned whenever we were closing up the last segment was about HIV testing.
Yes.
And that you guys at Choice Health Network, that you have a QR code that people can scan the code and they can request an at-home testing kit to,
yes,
test for HIV at home.
Yes, in the privacy of their home, where it's just them and,
okay,
the test.
Okay, so nobody knows about it.
Right.
So if they're concerned about privacy, so how do they do that test? Is it a finger stick, a swab? What's their options there?
There's the oral swab, of course, or there's a finger prick.
Okay.
But I think that's more like our prevention team would do, or the regional health would do.
Okay. Okay.
And then once they do that at home, if it was to be positive, of course you'd want to go into a medical provider and have a confirming test,
okay,
to make,
yes,
sure.
Yes. So if they get a positive back, they'll contact the patient. You know, the patient does a test, they send it back in, and then they'll contact the patient and let them know of the results. And then at that time, they can get an appointment with a healthcare provider,
yes,
to verify,
yes,
the accuracy of those,
it's a
results.
Confirmatory, I believe, test.
Yes.
That they do to make sure that that was accurate.
Okay.
And then once that's done and it is positive, then they would go to start a regimen to treat their HIV.
Okay. And besides the at-home test, are there other places here in the Upper Cumberland where individuals could get tested?
That would be the regional health office.
Okay. So
they may actually do it at all the county health
departments as well.
But I know once they do a test and it is positive, they are sent to the regional health.
Now, okay. Okay. And two, you know, you can go to your primary care doctor as well if they,
yes,
if someone has one set up, and they could test them as well. But we do have the regional office and local health departments in every,
yes,
county,
yes,
which is very helpful as well. And you guys, you mentioned that you guys are here, the Choice Health Network. You're here in the Upper Cumberland in,
yes,
Cookeville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is this the only office for the 11 counties you,
yes,
mentioned? Okay. But then in Knoxville and some of our bigger towns, they have a clinic as well,
yes,
a treatment clinic.
Knoxville is our main office.
Okay. So, the at-home test is an option, but they can go into the clinics for testing. So that's important for our, you know, listeners to know. And then, like you said, if someone does get a positive, mm-hmm. they'll go in to confirm those results. And yes. if they do receive a new diagnosis mm-hmm. of HIV, what are their next steps?
Next step is getting in with a medical provider that can prescribe them, you know, their medication,
okay.
whichever, you know, works for best for them.
Okay.
And then get started on their regimen.
Okay. So let's say, for instance, that someone, they got a positive test, they went in and confirmed, and they don't have a primary care provider, someone to refer them to someone at an HIV clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you guys can help with?
Yes. Yes.
So you can, you do have.
Because we have some clients that don't feel comfortable going to the regional health.
Okay.
So some of our clients go to Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Vanderbilt Comprehensive Clinic.
Uh-huh.
And some of our clients go all the way to Knoxville to our clinic.
Okay.
So it's just up to the client wherever they choose
okay.
best for them.
I gotcha. And the Choice Health Network Clinic, do they have to have insurance or no insurance?
They can sign them up for insurance.
Okay.
If they don't have insurance.
Okay.
Just like now, we can do that at our office as well. If we have someone okay. that comes in that doesn't have insurance, they do not have a medical case manager.
Yes.
We can sign them up to get them started on their insurance until they
okay.
get in with a medical
okay.
case manager.
Okay, great. That's great to know, too, because it's a huge diagnosis to receive.
Right.
And to not have a provider or not have insurance, you know, that's another hurdle that people
right.
are trying to overcome at the same time they've just got a new diagnosis.
Yes, and very scary as well.
Yes.
We have, in Knoxville, our main office, we have a behavioral health
okay.
team, and they do the telehealth for mental health and substance abuse. Because
nice.
You can imagine being hit with you have HIV.
Right. Right.
So that's a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we offer that as well.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal resource. And be able to do telehealth too, since
yes.
you're looking at something out of Knoxville here in the Upper Cumberland where they can do that from the comforts of their
and
home.
And if they don't have a phone to do it, we have a little office in our space that they can come in and use our computer where they can talk face-to-face with
that's
the provider.
Good. That's good. That's great information for people. So other support services, I know you've mentioned that, you know, you can help people with testing, that you have a place in the clinic that, you know, they could come in to do some telehealth visits, that you help people get set up with insurance. Mm-hmm. What other services or support do you have there at your organization?
Oh, we have two different programs. We do the Ryan White program.
Okay.
That helps with food each month.
Okay.
It also helps with if they have a car, we can give them gas cards to their medical appointments. That's vision, dental, whatever medical, you know, they need. And then if they don't have a car, we have a contract or we work with UCHRA.
Okay.
And the Ryan White program can pay for those trips where they can pick the client up at home.
Okay.
Take them to the doctor and then bring them back home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once the clients come in to the organization, you can kind of figure out what needs they have.
Yes.
And assist those with
yes.
those needs.
We do a personalized plan with them.
Yeah.
For all their needs.
Yeah.
What they need.
And where do you get, so is it actual, you give them food or you give them resources to purchase their food?
We give them food cards.
You give them food cards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they're restricted. It's healthy food only.
Okay.
Like they can't buy, you know, pack of cigarettes, something like that.
Right.
It's not set up like that. It's
okay.
strictly for food.
Okay.
And they're required to bring the receipt back because
okay.
we have to review it and make sure they're not buying items that are not allowed.
Appropriate. Okay. Well, that's very helpful. Now, are you guys a nonprofit organization?
Yes. Yes.
You are a nonprofit. Okay. Because I'm just learning about the organization,
right.
too. So I'm just like everybody else in the Upper Cumberland. We don't know about all of our resources
right.
that are right here around us. And so that's why we wanted you to come in and talk to everybody today.
Excuse me.
And so treatment has changed significantly as well
right.
in the past. I know we were mentioned earlier on in our conversation, you know, patients early on, they might be taking 20 pills a day
yes.
for their treatment. And now you might see them taking one, two, yeah. three pills a day.
And back before, you know, they would be deathly sick from the medication.
Yes, yes.
And we don't hardly see that anymore
yes.
at all.
So as treatments has evolved, you know, can you talk more about the treatment and what it means when someone is undetectable or untransmittable? What does that mean?
U equals U. If they are undetectable, they're untransmittable. They cannot pass the HIV virus to someone else.
Okay.
And we, they shoot for a viral load of 20 or lower.
Okay.
If it's above 20, then they're not undetectable.
So if they are tested and they have a viral load less than 20, mm-hmm. that means they're undetectable.
Yes.
And that means they cannot transmit
yes.
HIV at those levels. Yes. Do you know how often they get those checked?
Most everyone that I know are every 6 months.
Okay. And that is through whoever their HIV provider
yes,
clinic
the medical,
would be.
Yeah.
The medical clinic. So that's very interesting. So, Connie, when we come back, I want to go into some myth versus truth, some true-false,
okay.
because like you said, there's lots of stigma out
yes.
there, and there's a lot of misinformation.
Yes.
So I'm going to hopefully have you help us bust some myths, if I can say it right. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. And today we're here with Connie Garrett, and we're talking about National AIDS Awareness Day in December. And so Connie's here from Choice Health Network. So, Connie, we've talked a lot about HIV prevention, testing, and living with HIV. In our last segment, we were talking about some of the testing and local resources here and what those tests mean. So now I want to switch gears just a little bit and do a little myth busting. So for HIV awareness. So we're going to do some little myth checks, true, false. So feel free to jump in and explain each one as we talk through them. So true or false on our first one. HIV can be spread through casual contact like hugging, sharing utensils, or using the same bathroom.
And that is false.
And I know you'd mentioned before that was one of the misconceptions is
yes.
that you can get HIV from hugging or kissing.
Yes, when I first started in this field, when I was at UCHRO, some of my friends, when I got the position, wanted me to wear gloves and mask and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I really need to research and, you know, get
Correct.
More knowledge and
right.
understanding.
Yes, knowledge yeah. is power, I always say. So,
because sometimes we meet people where they're at and they need a hug.
That's right. And that's totally yeah. fine. Because
yes.
it's not contacted through
no,
hugging.
It's not.
You mentioned earlier it was contracted through blood,
mm-hmm.
body fluids,
yes.
breast milk if the mom is infected
no.
or
yes.
high load, yes, and IV drug use.
Yes.
So not through hugging, sharing utensils, or use in the same bathroom. So that's good to know. Okay, so here's another true false.
Okay.
There's no effective treatment for HIV.
That is false.
That is false.
Thank goodness.
And you've talked a bit about treatments out there, Connie, and how those have evolved over the decades. And treatments are much more effective
yes.
for patients nowadays than they were originally. Here's another one. True, false. Only certain groups of people are at risk for HIV.
That is false. It can affect any demographic. Any age group, it doesn't.
Any age group. And tell us again, just tell the listeners again, so maybe somebody that didn't catch it in the beginning, you know, what is the risk for HIV? How can people contract HIV?
Through having unprotected sex
okay.
with someone who may have HIV.
Okay.
Injection drugs, use,
okay.
sharing needles.
Yep.
You may be sharing with someone that is HIV positive
right.
and not know, you know.
Right.
And, of course, unprotected sex is
right.
a big deal.
And,
yeah. you know, if you've got a cut and someone else has got a cut that may have HIV, that is a risk.
Okay.
Yes. But it is blood, you know.
It is blood or body fluid
yes.
contact. Yes. Okay. So another true or false for you, a person living with HIV can live a long, healthy life with proper treatment.
True.
True.
Today. Thank goodness.
And it didn't used to be that way.
No.
It didn't. You know, people didn't live very long and got sick really quick
yes.
with HIV. They advanced to
yes.
AIDS.
We had went to a World AIDS Day event in McMinnville Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to hear Dr. Refonte. who was one on the front lines when it first started. And he was talking through all that and how bad it was then and everything. And it was real emotional, but it was wonderful to hear.
Yeah, it's very interesting to hear the history, you know, really over, I would say, 40 to 50 years now. The changes have been phenomenal that we've seen. Okay, so one more true-false.
All right.
If someone's viral load is undetectable, they cannot transmit HIV to others.
That is true.
True. Because we said if you're undetectable, you're untransmittable as well. And you mentioned that viral load less than 20 before.
That's what it's U equals U.
U equals U. That's a good thing. I haven't heard that one. So that's very helpful to understand and to remember.
Right.
So thank you, Connie, for clearing up some of those misconceptions, you know, things that are false misinformation that we hear in the community. And a lot of it is just from lack of knowledge. You know, people are unaware of the current treatment and prevention and guidelines.
Because they have a misconception that it's only certain people.
Correct.
And it can be anybody.
Right. There's lots of people nowadays. And the big thing is to know how to prevent it as well. I think that's a huge thing for our community. So let's shift our conversation here in the last few minutes that we have to the community side of AIDS and HIV. What can people do? What do you think they can do to reduce that stigma that we've talked about and promote compassion for those people living with HIV?
Well, first is get educated on what it actually is, how they can contract it.
Okay. Which is what we're trying to do today.
Right. And realize it's not just certain demographics. It can affect everyone.
Yes.
Get involved in your community. If, like, we go to any outreach events. We go and set up. We put our information out there. And they could just come by and pick up a pamphlet and learn about what services we offer.
Yeah.
So that if they know someone who is living with HIV, we can help them.
Yes. Now, are y'all, the people that help you, is it all paid employees? Is it volunteers? How is your organization set up?
We're all paid employees.
You're all paid employees. Mm-hmm. Do you use volunteers for anything?
Yes, absolutely.
For your outreach? Okay, so that was one thing I was going to see, if you guys needed volunteers from the community to help with outreach.
Anytime we're having an event, it's great if a client or non-client wants to come and help. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that's good to know. So education is big.
Yes.
Understanding what HIV and AIDS is. You know, how it's contracted, the treatment, the prevention that's out there now, and getting involved in the community. And like you said, Choice Health Network is a great place to get involved.
Yes.
You have lots of outreach and a good place for volunteer work as well. So what about thinking of other organizations? So schools, other community organizations, and even healthcare providers. How can, you know, those individuals contribute to prevention and education efforts, do you think?
It's still learning what it is and how to prevent it and how you can contract it. And putting that in when they're young so they know what to watch out for. If they're living that, you know, lifestyle where they're not protecting themselves, they need to know how to prevent that.
And I think, too, as a healthcare provider, you know, and like I've told you before, I've met so many wonderful individuals and resources through this radio station and radio show. And so I think for providers, it's important for us to know what resources we have for people in our community. So if we have a patient that comes in and needs PrEP or needs testing or, you know, needs a provider, knowing that we have you guys here that we could refer to and could assist providers. So I think that, from a provider standpoint, is very helpful, too. Go ahead.
We're involved with, I'm involved with Power Putnam Drug Coalition, Clay County Drug Coalition. I get involved with those and volunteer with them as well.
Yeah.
They know what I do and I know what they do. And it kind of can, you know, come together.
Right.
With
and
prevention
help one
of
another.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there current local or national initiatives around HIV and AIDS awareness that you would like listeners to know about?
Well, World AIDS Day was the main one. But yes, they have.
And World AIDS Day is Is that the first?
December 1st. And like this Friday, we always try to put it on a Friday because it seems to work better for our clients. But we will be giving our clients a bag with supplies in it, along with a $50 gift card for Christmas. And also, if they have children or grandchildren, we buy gifts for them as well.
Oh, that's
nice. And
that's
once a year that we get to do something.
That's nice.
That is not restricted by grant, you know.
Right. And so how do you receive those items? Are they donated?
We have people that donate to our agents.
Yes.
Private donors.
Gotcha. So. And you can use those
funds to provide this. Yes.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. So that's here locally in the Upper Cumberland.
Yes.
Right?
It's at all of our sites.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. For those who want to get involved, so we've talked about education, advocacy, so advocating.
Just breaking the stigma is the main.
Yes. And people, you know, participating in testing or outreach, you know, on, you know, knowing about National AIDS Awareness Day.
Yes.
What opportunities are available? Or say you've got someone that's listened to this and they're like, I want to know more or I want to get involved.
Right.
How would they get in contact with you?
Our number, our office number, it's 931-400-2007.
2007. So 931-400-2007.
Absolutely.
And Choice Health Network. And where is your office located,
Connie?
It is
located on 225 North Willow.
225.
We're right beside the Willow Medical Clinic.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I know where that's at. So 225 North Willow Avenue here in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a website or anything that you guys use?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Just look at Choice Health Network.
Choice Health Network.
Pull up our main office, and it has all the different offices on there as well, and it has the services that each office provides.
Okay. And so that way, if someone needed to look you guys up online, they can find you there as well.
And we're also on 221 or 211.
Okay. So that way, if you need more information.
Mm-hmm.
And see what kind of resources you guys have. So finally, Connie, kind of we're wrapping up our conversation today. What's one message that you would like to leave to our listeners in the Upper Cumberland today about hope, awareness, or action in the fight against HIV and AIDS?
My most important thought that I always put out there, HIV is just like any other chronic health condition like diabetes, like rheumatoid arthritis. They're still human beings.
Yep.
And deserve respect.
That's right.
And compassion and care.
That's right. I agree with you 100%, Connie. Connie, thank you so much for joining us today and for the incredible work that Choice Health Network does in our community. I have learned so much from you and from these resources here in the community, so I really appreciate you coming in and talking with me today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.